Christians around the world gather this day to share Holy Communion as one body, a body united in the love and mercy of Christ. We gather with them in our unity in Christ. Now we have the pleasure of the King's Kids singing for us. We're together again. Everybody online and on the radio to know that while we sing here in the congregation, the words to the songs are on the monitors. The kids sing that without the words on the monitor. So let us stand and join in the call to worship. When we feel spiritually homeless, where can we go for our help? Our help is in the grace of God. When we are imprisoned in our suffering, where can we turn for solace? Our solace is in the mercy of Christ. When we are trapped in the grip of misfortune, where can we turn for strength? Our strength is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come, let us worship God, our guide and our guardian. Let us join in the opening prayer. Merciful God, though you often feel far from us, you meet us in our need. When our mouths know the taste of bitter tears, you bring us to the feast of your love and mercy. When grief threatens to steal our joy, you remind us to sing of happier times. When anniversaries enter, you rekindle the hope that lies within us. When fear robs us of our courage, you fill us with the daring to begin anew. Be with us in this time, that we may be brought back to life through the grace of your Son, who walks with us in the journey of faith. Amen. Let us sing together, Together We Serve, in the Faith We Sing, number 2175, verses 1 through 4. Thank you.
Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we thank you. We bless you. We ask that you continue to walk alongside of us, that we might walk alongside of you. God, we lift up our prayers today, those that are heavy and those that are light. Lord, we ask that you're with the families who are grieving from the loss of loved ones. We ask that you comfort them and bring them moments of joy and grace in the midst of sorrow. Lord, we give you thanks for anniversaries and for birthdays, even very first birthdays. God, thank you for the laughter and the lightness that those moments bring. God, we ask that you're with those who are sick, those who are recovering, those who have undergone surgery and are resting at home, those who are still in the hospital. God, we ask that you walk with them and you give them healing, whatever that healing may look like. We pray that your grace surrounds them and that your compassion is within us, that we might care for one another as you've cared for us. God, we ask that you hear our prayers, those spoken aloud and those that are heavy on our hearts or that need to sit there for some time longer. God, we pray that you might know us and that we might know you and that our prayers might echo your heart so that all the world may know that you are risen, that you are love, and that there is grace and hope. God, we offer these prayers to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. And so, with the confidence of the children of God, I invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. How many kids we got in here? Y'all should come up now. Kids, come on up. Come on up.
Good morning. How are you guys? Is this on?
Yes.
Ah, it is on. Good morning, everyone. Friends, what is this? This is salt. So, have you guys ever had? Oh no. Have you guys ever had French fries without salt in it? No. It. You don't like French fries. What? Oh my gosh. We have people that don't like French fries. We'll fix that. It doesn't taste good when something's supposed to have salt in it and it has no salt in it, right? Yeah, it's not very good. You do like it without salt in it. Is that what you... No. Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood. All right. What... Do you guys know what else you can use salt for?
No.
What do you think? You put it on your burgers? What happens if there's ice on the road? Do you guys put salt on it? Sometimes sand. Who here drinks salt water? I've drank in salt water. You guys should try it. It's pretty good. So, sometimes you can put salt on the road to make it not slippery. Do you guys know that you can preserve things with salt? I'm just now learning that. People used to pack meat in salt. You guys knew that.
No.
I did not. You didn't know that? Okay, cool. Not alone. So, in the Bible, Jesus called us to be the salt of the earth. I know, that's a weird saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think he meant by that? We're not even salt. How does that work, right? We're not. Well, there's some salt in there. But you're right. You're right. We're not majority salt. So, what does salt do? Salt tastes good, right? That's what we use it mostly for. Salt tastes good. It makes food better, right? Now, do you guys think that maybe Jesus meant that we were called to make the world better? Yeah? Oh, I know. That's a reach. So, how can we make the world a better place? You don't know? Can we be nice to everyone that we meet?
Yeah.
Yes. Can we wave at people that we know when we see them? Should we wave out at everyone? Are you guys waving or am I alone? Oh, good. We're waving. See? Look at, they're all smiling. That makes them so happy. We just made the room a better place by just saying hi. Ooh, you okay? We don't be mean to people. How else can we make the world a better place? Let's get one more. Yes. You help people when they need help, right? Does that make everyone feel good when you get help when you need help? Yeah. You can share God's love with everyone. That makes us all feel good, right? Right. You can drink a cup of water. You could share that cup of water, right? Right. That would be spreading germs. Maybe we could get them their own cup of water. That's a good point. All right, friends, should we pray? All right, cool. Hey, God.
Hey, God.
Thank you so much for putting us here so we can help make the world a better place. Amen. All right.
The Old Testament reading today comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 and 4 through 7. Hear these words. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. This is the word of God. We have some special music now. Gather us from the chancel choir.
Thank you.
Let's stand as you're able and join in the hymn, Come Let Us Dream. It's in Worship and Song, number 3157, verses 1 through 4 and 1 again.
You may be seated. Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. This is the gospel according to Matthew. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not take a road leading to the Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those with a skin disease. Cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. the good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. Do you know how long I've been looking for that Jeremiah passage? I'd heard that maybe 5 years ago, and for whatever reason, I just couldn't find it until it popped up in the lectionary, and I said, aha, there it is. So friends, I'm excited, and I hope you're just as excited as I am, right? Yeah, I know, I'm a Bible nerd. But, I love that passage in Jeremiah. And to give a little bit of background information on what had happened, see, there were these things called kingdoms. Maybe you've heard of them before. And Israel had one until it had two. How many of you have siblings? You never fought when you were kids, did you? I know, right? This is basically what happened, but on a national scale. See, the southern tribes in Judah didn't really like the northern tribes, which was, you know, everyone else. And there was a split in determining who was going to be king. I don't know if you know anything about history of the monarchy in any country, but it's not necessarily a simple affair, is it? Sometimes it's violent, sometimes it's bloody, and always there's people who win and people who lose. And this is exactly what happened in Israel and in Judah, that there came a day where they split between two different nations. And then what happened? Life was good and everything went on like it was supposed to, right? Take your head, look to the right, look to the left, do that a couple times, right? No, it wasn't actually all that great. In fact, it accelerated things that were already in motion. See, what happened is the people forgot who God was and who God called them to be. And so there were these people called prophets. How many of you would enjoy inviting a prophet to dinner? Smart people, right? Because you know what the prophet's going to tell you? All the things you should be doing. And we have all had parents before, haven't we? Right? See, the prophets came about and said, you're not treating people well. You're taking advantage of others. Greed rules your lives. Bitterness and scheming is always on your mind. Even as you're lying awake in bed at night, you're trying to figure out how to pull a fast one on someone. And you will reap the seeds you sow. And reap, the northern kingdom did. The quick history is that there was this other nation called Assyria that came in. And they overtook the country, they invaded it, they conquered it, and they took the people and they scattered them to the four corners of the earth. And this is something that we call the beginning of the exile. Can you say that with me? Exile. They scattered the people of northern Israel to the four corners of the earth, and they brought other people and re-put them in there. See, that was going to help quell all of the rebellions and all of the hard feelings. But as the way of conquering nations go, I think you've always already heard before in your life, there's always a bigger fish in the pond, right? See, there was this other country called Babylon that was rising to power later. See, Judah was spared. Judah in the south, they were fine. They were able to repel the Assyrians, something about supply lines or something like that. Maybe the favor of God, I don't know. It's a toss-up. But they were able to repel the Assyrians, but not quite the Babylonians. See, eventually, Babylon became so great and so powerful that they came and took over Assyria, took northern Israel, and then they pushed so far south into Judah that it was theirs. How many of you have heard this story before? It's not one we tell all that often, but it gives us some good context of what these readings are a little bit about. See, unlike Assyria, what Babylon did is they took the leaders, the scientists, the priests, the smart people, the rich people. They took them and brought them back to their capital city and left everyone else. What was that word that started with an E that we just said?
exile, right? Being so far from home and not able to return. It very much so shaped how the nation of Judah and Israel viewed themselves, even today to some degree. A people who were never quite home, and yet always trying to get there. It's why this passage in Jeremiah is so fascinating. What's the longest trip you've ever been on? What's the longest time you've ever been away from home? Go ahead, just shout it out. A weekend. What else? 3 weeks. What else? Did someone say 4 weeks? Has anyone ever been overseas studying? Or maybe overseas serving in the military? What's those feelings, right? If you're away from home long enough, what do you start to do? You long to be home. You know, you can only do so much laundry on the road before it comes a chore, right? And eating out even loses its appeal. You just want something home cooked. Now multiply that by 100, and you might start to scratch the surface on what it means for a people, a nation, to be in exile. Which, again, is incredible that the prophet Jeremiah wrote these words. But I want to return to them real quick. The word of the Lord came to the exiles in Babylon, and God said to the Jews, "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease." Now at this point you're saying, okay, yeah, they're just trying to survive, right? They're just trying to get through. So eventually, one day, they can keep the hope alive that they might return home. But God doesn't stop. God goes on and continues to say, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare." Remember, the Jews are a people at this time in history that wanted nothing more than to go home. And what was God telling them to do? Stay put. Put down roots. Have your sons take wives, maybe even from the people in Babylon. Give your daughters as wives, maybe to even the people in Babylon. Bless this city where you find yourself now, because in that blessing you will be blessed. Sit with that for a moment, because that's absolutely incredible. You've all got heads, right? Right? Okay, just making sure. Don't scare me, friends. You've all got hearts, right? You can probably feel them beating, right? And you've all got these things. What are they called? Fingers, but hands too, right? We've been talking for a while about how we become deeper disciples, how we grow in our faith. We've talked about our hearts, how it's not just about what we do or what we know, but it's how we act and it's the attitudes that we have. We've talked about our heads, how to continue to study is maybe, I mean, not a prerequisite for salvation, right? That's through faith alone. But to continue to study is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. And now we come to these things with these 10 digits on them. What do you do with them? What do you do with them? What do you use your hands for? Work, cleaning, building, helping, what else? Making things, what else? I know, what an open-ended question, right? Coloring. Oh, that's awesome. I love it, right? We use our hands so much to the point where if you ever have a finger that's hurt or cut or burned, you quickly realize how much you do use your hands. Sarah and I have a joke. It seems like every month one of us cuts our fingers while we're chopping vegetables. I don't know why. I think eventually we'll learn how to cut food up and prepare it, but I don't know. Can you pray for me, friends? Is that okay? Thank you. I appreciate your prayers. We use our hands for so many things. And as we talk about what it means to be fully human and wholly Christian, this is a component of how we do that. Jesus sends out his 12 disciples. There's a big, long list of them there. He sends them out, and what does he tell them to do? Well, go and cast out demons and heal the sick and feed the hungry and poor and go stay with people and pray for them and tell them the good news that the kingdom of God is very, very near, that there is hope. Christ basically says, go out and help people. Go out and help people. And what's fascinating is he sends his 12 first, and later on, who does he send? The 72, or the 70, or whatever your translation says, but he sends the core group first ahead of him, and then he sends the bigger group ahead of him, and then he himself goes. And first to the people, the lost sheep of Israel, but not just there, also to Samaria, and also to the Gentiles eventually. He sends his people, his disciples, out. And in that way, echoing exactly what God had said in Jeremiah. Build houses. Plant gardens. Put down roots. Don't wall yourselves in. But bless who? The people. Where you live. Where you're in exile. Where you're traveling through. Bless the people too. See, you can tell I have young kids. Imagine, if you will, a three-legged stool, right? I said I was going to build one. Didn't quite get to it. But imagine, if you will, a three-legged stool. I've said this three times now. The first leg is what? Your heart, your prayer, your worship, your attitudes. The second leg is what? Your head, your mind, your study, the things that you are learning, the ways that you are growing. And that third leg is what? Your hands, the ways that you serve people, the good that you do, the help that you lend, the aid that you give. And if you take one leg away, what happens? You fall. You fall down on your backside. And hopefully we have enough presence of mind to laugh at ourselves a little bit and do what? Get up and put the leg back in. It takes all of these things in our growth and our faith to be a balanced and whole person. I encourage all of us then, as we think through what it means to be Christians, growing deeper, what does it look like to serve? What does it look like to serve? What have you done in the past to serve? It could be really out there, or it could be really common. But go ahead. What have you done to serve people in the past? A little bit louder. I play the bagpipes. I'm going deaf. Serving food, is that what we said? Yeah, preparing food. What else? Calling on people. What else? Praying. What else? Going to Haiti and helping however you can. What else? Anyone ever taken the trash out or mowed the yard or raked some leaves? I know, right? Even little things like that. Friends, it doesn't take much. And in fact, I think we've all seen that in our lives, is that oftentimes it's the simplest things that people look back on and have the warmest glow from. By simply saying, yes, I am here. I will help however I can. So friends, we'll talk about this more throughout our journey together as we learn what it means to... What did Jeremiah say? To seek the welfare of the city so that we might find welfare too. But friends, I encourage you throughout these next several years. Or maybe that's too long. What should we start with? A week? Can we do that? These next several days? These next several days, sit down and really reflect. What is one way that you can learn about what God is doing, or about anything at all, right? What is one time or one prayer that you can say daily? And what is one way that you can help someone? Because I think that's the goal, friends. When we're young, how many of us can walk? It depends how old we are, right? If you're below, what is that age? I don't know, I should know. Mom, what's the age that we should walk? One? Okay, so one, right? If you're below one, can you walk yet? Typically not, but eventually what happens? You start wanting to go places, and all of a sudden, you are on your two legs, and you are off. And then you're running. And then you realize that running is tiresome. And then you start walking again. Amen? But friends, it's no different than the life of faith, than the life of study and prayer and service. Wherever you're at, just jump in. However often you can, just jump in. Because over time we know that growth does happen. And that we get stronger. Our hearts get bigger. Our hands can work longer. Our brains, our minds are able to comprehend more, so that we can rest in the hope that God is good, that death is not the end, and that the kingdom of God is actually very, very near. May you serve, may you pray, may you study, and in doing so, may you grow. Amen. Amen. Friends, it is now time for what? Holy Communion. And I think, as our centering words alluded to today, this is a day where we remember that we don't take this alone. We don't share this table just with ourselves, but that all over the world, people are doing the same thing in many different places, in many different times. And even though we know that these tables might not look exactly the same, and we're still trying to figure out what it means to share a table with each other, that we all serve one Lord, that we all profess one grace. Friends, this is Holy Communion. And this table is not my table. It's not the table of the United Methodist Church. It's the table of the living God. And all are welcome here who wish to know the love of God. If for whatever reason you don't feel comfortable taking communion today, totally fine. Go ahead and come up with your arms crossed, and we'll give you a blessing, because we want you to know that you are welcome and you are loved in this place, no matter who you are or where you're from. I think we have some prepackaged communion in the back, and if we don't, we'll have it in the kitchenette in the back. If you'd like some, please, if you feel more comfortable taking communion that way, go ahead and go to the back and get some that way. That is another valid way of sharing a table and a meal with each other. But friends, this is the table of Christ. God loves you and you are welcome. Amen. Amen. Friends, let us pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have blessed us, that you have called us, that you help us learn what it means, to know what it means to be your people.
Lord, just as you fashioned us out of dust and dirt and mud and clay and breathed into us the breath of life, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks and we ask that you help us never forget and always remember your grace at the beginning of all things, your grace in the life of Christ through his teaching and his suffering and his death, but also his resurrection. Lord, may we remember and rejoice and give thanks for all of the ways that you care for us, for all of the ways that you love us. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so as we lift our voices with all of us gathered here, all of those around the world, all of those who have gone before us, and maybe even all of those who will go after us, I invite you to raise your voices as we proclaim the unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Friends, on the night which Christ offered himself up for us, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and giving it to his disciples, he said, "Take this and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this as often as you can in my memory." And in the same way, after the meal had ended, he took the cup. And he poured out the wine, and blessing it, he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you can in my memory." And so, friends, in memory of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we lift our voices once again as we proclaim the mystery of faith, saying, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." Friends, would you pray with me once more? Almighty God, bless us here today. Bless these simple gifts of bread and the fruit of the vine. Lord, that they may be your body and your blood, that we might be your body and your blood. Lord, make us one with you, one with each other, and one throughout the whole world in ministry, until you come again in grace and in glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we give you honor and praise now and forever. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, this is the table of the Lord, and all are welcome. Come, the meal is set. Thank you.
You are loved by God. You have been redeemed by Christ, and the Holy Spirit works in your lives until we may find salvation and welfare. Friends, God loves you. And all the people said, amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able and join us in our last hymn. The Church of Christ in Every Age will sing verses 1 through 5. Friends, we have our congregational meeting afterwards, but before we go, may the Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God lift up God's face upon you, shine and give you peace. Go now with your head and your heart and your hands full and in the service of the Lord. May you grow in your faith. May you know that God is good and ever faithful. And may you be a shining beacon and a light to this community as we build houses, plant gardens, and bless one another. Go with God, and God will go with you. And all the people said, amen. If you're coming to the meeting, awesome. If you're going home, that's okay. Then rest. Take your Sabbath and enjoy. But we invite you downstairs to join us. Our service has ended.